Hallelujah. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands as we lift our heart, as we offer up praise unto your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I needed that. I needed that none other than to settle my spirit. Amen. I'll go ahead and just explain to some of you, because I want to let you know that we appreciate your giving, but we took your giving that you did while we were gone and we put it on the bills and the necessary things. But I was able to write a grant for new video equipment for $5,000. $5,000. Got everything we needed, and yesterday I came over here and for 5 hours set everything up pristine, got it all right, tested everything, and today one of the cameras just will not act right. So I'm a little ticked off. But this is what you have to understand. When you are called to do something, you switch from... And I'll say this as before I begin to preach. So you see some of the things that are going on in the land, it will tick you off. But you're still a Christian. You adjust and you get back to your center and you flow from what God has put down on the inside of you. And so the word that God has for me, and we're able, we got one of the cameras working, so we're able to go live and the people will still see. So we're going to be able to preach the word of God. But always know how to adjust. Always know how to adjust if you need to. And thank God for people of God who will adjust and wait and praise. And we appreciate that. Those who are in the parking lot, we were not able to get the them to be able to tune in, but they can still go live. So we're going to move right into the word of God. Is that good? Amen. It's good to see you. All right. With your Bibles in your hands, repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple. Where we love by what? Living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. And we communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Amen. Put your hands together one more time. As we move in, my camera on my far left is the one that is functioning correctly. So if you see me staying over here, it's not because I like these people better. I'm just trying to help the live out. So we started a series. So if you were to look at our DT app, every message that has happened after, actually starting on March 15, has come in the coronavirus series. So that if you ever want to look back on for where God brought you from, you can pull up the coronavirus series and there's all these messages. But within the series of messages, I started what I would call the re-series, the R-E. And the first one was reset. Because I really believe that this virus, when God allowed it to hit, I don't believe God started it, because God is not the author of confusion. The scripture says he's not the author of confusion. In the church, sometimes he does author confusion outside to the demonic, But when we get affected, God didn't do that to us, but sometimes he does allow, and he allowed it to reset. And then Memorial Day weekend, it was remember. And we talked about how Cornelius built a memorial before the Lord, and he was remembered by his praying and his giving. If you've done anything while you've been gone, you've been praying and giving, and God will remember you. And then there was response in our parking lot service. It was response. And then today it is restart. Somebody say restart. So let me give you just a little background. Every week when me and my sons would be over here and they would be helping me do the live, I just appreciate them for getting up every Sunday. And a lot of you guys, yeah, you can give them a hand clap for that. The way I look at it, if they in my house sucking up my air, eating out my food, they do what I do when I do it. When I go to the church, y'all going to the church. But no, I do appreciate them. But what I would always do is later in the week, I would give them pop quizzes. And I would say, what was the sermon on? And Dylan sometimes would be doing the slides, and sometimes Draylen would be doing the video and vice versa. And whoever was doing the slides, we would say, you should know it because you were looking right at it. So he would think, but then they would get it. And I was amazed that with nobody here, every now and then the praise team, I was amazed that they were actually paying attention. So on response, I said, what was the message on? And Dylan was going through his mind. He was like, re, it was re something. I was like, duh, they all been re. He was re. Then he said, restart. I said, no, that's not it, but that's going to be my next one. I was like, thank you, Dylan. So it was Dylan's mistake that gave me the next one, because I knew by the time I got to the next one, we would be in the building. And so restart. And so I'm going to give you a definition of restart. And number one, it's just pretty simple. I'm going to give you a definition of restart. Number one is pretty simple, to start again. To start again. That's pretty simple. But number two, I like that in the context of what we've been in. Number two says to resume something such as an activity after interruption. After you have been interrupted, to pick back up where you left off, provided that where you left off was a good place to begin with. But what a restart does, if for some reason you did something wrong, a restart gives you a chance to start again. I'll give you just a quick example. When people are down in the blocks for the track and field, Sister Kiana Sims would understand, she ran track, and they move. Sometimes somebody, there's a false start, and what that allows you to do is to restart. And so people have to get back in the blocks and back in position to restart. If you were in position before the interruption, thank God. If you are out of position in the interruption, thank God, because now you have a chance to restart. All right, I'm going to put this picture up of computers, because I also thought of computers. And so one of the things that I was working on, I'm going to put a picture up of restart. Whenever I do that, that means they ain't following me, so I have to say it again. So I'm going to put a picture up about computers. And so whenever you have trouble with computers, one of the easiest things, not just computers, but electronics, one of the easiest things they say is restart it. If it's your Wi-Fi being slow and you call AT&T, hey, I've been paying all this money. You call Comcast, I've been paying all this money. The first thing they say is, have you unplugged it? Unplug it, wait a couple minutes, and plug it back in. That ain't going to do nothing, but oftentimes it does, because there is a power in allowing things to recycle and restart and refresh. And what God allows some of y'all do is to get unplugged. There were some relationships that have been unplugged over the time that you've been off. I don't want to get in your business, but there were some folk you didn't have no business seeing at the beginning of 2020, and you had no business, you had no plan in letting them go. So God just unplugged some stuff, and they couldn't come over to your house, and you couldn't go to their house. And even if you could, you needed a mask, and you just finally decided to stay your tail at home. Thank God for the unplug. There's some stuff in your life that need to be unplugged, but now that we're ready to restart, don't do what you did before. Don't act like you did before. Don't function like you functioned before. This is a moment in time. This is a season in time. This is an opportunity to do things different. We have restarted and refreshed all the way back to the civil rights movement. And we're in the civil rights movement once again. If you ask yourself, what would I have done in the time of Martin Luther King and Medgar Evers and Malcolm X and Huey Newton and Rack Brown? What would I have done in that time? Whatever you're doing now is what you would have done in that time. If you're not doing anything now, that's not, you wouldn't have done anything then. So this is the opportunity to restart. So let's put this up. Well, actually, they already got it up for me. According to about.com, it saves your information. Talking about the computers, it saves your information to the hard drive, turns off the computer for a moment, then turns it back on again. A restart is typically best when your PC is running unusually slow or if a program has locked up. If you are running unusually slow, let me throw it this to you this way. If you've gotten slowful in the things of God, if you got stuck on programs, if you got stuck on routines that it has to be done this way, I'm not going to read Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'll just come to church on Sunday and have them read everything for me. But God said, I'm going to unplug some stuff. I'm going to restart some stuff. You need to get a hold of God at home, because the building is not the church. The building is where the church comes to gather. It's where we get rejuvenated, but you are the church. And if you're not praying, and if you're not reading, and if you're not fasting, and if you're not sowing, you are a slowful church. And when things get slow and bogged down, the best thing you can do is just unplug. Give it a minute, plug it back in. Our last service was March 15th. This is June 14th. This is almost 90 days before we have been in the building together. God, what are you saying? He's saying some of y'all needed some unplugging. Not just some of y'all, not just Deliverance Temple, but churches all around the globe. We had got in some stuff that God was not pleased with, and he didn't send it, but he allowed it. Now, I'm going to say something, and I don't mean to cast aspersions on people, but let me say this, that in this time of coronavirus, there have been several high-profile bishops who have died and left the scene. Specifically in the Church of God in Christ, a lot of men who are in leadership have died. Now, I'm not saying any of them did something wrong. Some of them were just older. They contracted the virus. But what I do see that there's a changing of the guard. In the kingdom, there is a changing of the guard. God is unplugging and resetting some things. And if he's allowing leaders to go off the scene, that means he's raising up leaders. And if you have not been praying and you have not been worshiping, and if you need a building to talk to God, God can use you and raise you up as a leader. He's switching things. Do you understand that when you are on first shift at sometimes clocks out and second shift comes in, and second shift at sometimes clocks out and third shift comes in? There is a shift in the atmosphere. Are you ready for the shift? Are you ready to clock in? I am fine as long as I clock in at 10:30. I done clocked it at 10:29. I done clocked it at 10:29:29. But I'm okay as long as I clock in by 10:30. The way my job works is if you are a minute late, they dock you 6 minutes. So if I show up at 10:31, I lose 6 minutes of my pay. That's the way it works. So it's an incentive to get there on time. You have been refreshed. You have been restarted. Don't be lazy now. Don't walk in a lack of excellence now. This is the time to move and be ready. Now, I'm not one of those people that I stand outside waiting to clock in. I take my time because I don't enjoy my job that much. I enjoy the check, but I don't enjoy my job that much. But in the things of God, you got to be like them people who love their job, that clock in early and get a newspaper and get the coffee. I see people, you here an hour early. What are you doing? Why are you here an hour early. They like, they just want to get settled in. But I need some kingdom folk that just want to get settled in. I'm on my job. I'm on time. I'm ready to go. God, whatever you need, I'm ready to do what you need me to do. I played long enough. I've been slow for long enough. I've been lazy long enough. But God, if you need somebody, I'm ready. I'm not going to allow you to restart me and me to act exactly the same. Now, I threw it out there, and I'm going to throw it out there again. I don't know how many of y'all was late to online service. You could have watched service in your drawers and was still late. Didn't have nowhere to go. You could have got up at 10:59 and pulled out your phone and been on time, and some of y'all was still late. This is the first service back in the building, and we had technical difficulties, and some of y'all were still late. I'm not fussing, but what I'm saying is don't take the restart for granted. Do something different. Amen. All right. So that leads me to point number one. Point number one is reckoning. There's a day of reckoning. We have been talking about it a long time, and it's hard for me to say it because it's easy for it to go in one ear and out the other, because I've heard it all my life, and I'm 43 years old, or be 44 next month, and I've heard it all my life that we are in the last days. Well, the last days have lasted at least 43 years, so when somebody tell you we in the last days, it's easy to let it go in one ear and out the other, but all you have to do is turn on your news. All you had to do is cross over from 2019 to 2020 to find out we're in something different. It's not just a virus that has been global, but there has been locusts and murder hornets. There has been unusual earthquakes. There's things happening at a rapid pace. We have people who are dying in the streets in the civil rights movement. And just last night in Atlanta, another person was shot in the back. And of course, they were doing some struggling, but it seems like we are in another dispensation. We are in a dispensation that is not to be taken lightly, and there is a day of reckoning. There's a day of reckoning before God moves in and ushers us out and transitions things, and there's the tribulation and the Antichrist. I don't talk about that as much because some of y'all are not ready for it, but I understand it. I studied it. It's called eschatology. It's the study of the end times. But we are approaching something. And what I want to say, God, as long as I've been in my Christian existence, I don't want to lose out now. I don't want to be preaching Sunday after Sunday and giving and praying and reading, and somehow I really don't have a relationship with you. I don't want to put on a church face. I don't want to fake this thing. I don't want to be phony. I want this to be real. Like the old saints would say, real, real. Jesus is real to me. Not to the Pope, not to the bishop, not to the pastor, to me. So many people doubt him, but I can't live without him. That is why I love him so, because he's so real to me. If God's not real to you in this season, what are you doing? What you waiting on? This is the season. And it's interesting. I'm probably going to do a little extra because I feel like preaching. It's interesting in an age of grace. See, in the age that many of some the others grew up in, if you put alcohol on your lips, you wasn't saved. What? No, I'm just going to have a little margarita to take the edge off. No, you going to hell. You got a cigarette on your lips, you going to hell. You cuss one time, you going to hell. If you got a run in your stockings and you come to church and somebody see your flesh, you going to hell. Well, we've adjusted, we've grown, we've allowed, we say you may be struggling with stuff, but keep on coming. But in an age where people are not judging you and people are not beating you up, you can have tattoos from one side down the other, we're going to love you and preach to you, but in an age like that, folk are lazy. Well, I can't come to church. Why? Well, I ain't got no church clothes. Well, you know, we don't worry about that here. Well, I can't come to church because I smell like weed. We don't worry about that. I can't come to church because I might be gay. We don't worry about that here. We say come and God will love you, and people still won't come. And at some point, you have to say it's not because the church, oh, it's church hurt. I've been hurt from the church, and that's why I can't come. You got hurt at Walmart and you went back. You got lied on at the club and you went back. That man you went got three other girlfriends and you keep coming back. So you can come back to church. And you need to, because there's a day of reckoning. You don't want to be missed out. In other words, it's pretty simple. If it's storming outside and I have an umbrella and you don't, and you don't want to get wet, you got to come under the umbrella if you don't want to get wet. If you want to get wet, then keep on doing what you're doing. I see people getting wet, say, I'm tired of this life. Oh, don't nothing ever work for me. God don't seem to answer my prayers. How about you get out the rain and get under the safety of God? It's a day of reckoning. All right, let's get into the word a little bit. Numbers 14, 26 and 27. Sister Mitchell, read that.
And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites.
Going all the way back to the story of Israel in their Exodus time, they've already come across the Red Sea. They've already been delivered from Pharaoh. They still grumbling. Let's look at verse 28.
So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say.
Mm-hmm. Next verse.
In this wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me.
God wiped out an entire generation. And only left the 19 and under. It's amazing. Sometimes we think that young people can't serve God. But when God got ready to take them into the promised land, he said, if you've hit 20 or older, I can't use you. Because you are so set in your ways. So they all died out. So let's look at the next verse.
Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun.
Only two people made it out. Not even Moses. Even Moses. And the major thing, when you look at the New Testament, it says because of their unbelief, they just would not believe. But Caleb and Joshua, they seen the promised land, and they seen the giants, and they said, we're well able to take the land. I know there's obstacles, and I know there's trouble. I know there's racism, depression, anxiety, but I still think we can take this. I love somebody that has some tenacity, that says, yes, the odds are stacked against us, but with me and God, I think I can make it. I think I can make it this time. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. I think I can make it. 2020 is still my year. Well, no, it ain't. I think it still is. I think God's still going to make a way for me. I love people with faith. But sometimes the old heads, and I'm not talking about old in their bodies, I'm talking about old in their mentality. Sometimes they lose faith and they become cynical and they become jaded and they get to the place where they just won't believe. After no matter what God has done, they just won't believe. And God says, you know what? I can't use them. So let them die off. I don't know how many of y'all are going to die off in our next transition. I don't know how many we're going to lose because you just will not believe. This is not the time to be scared. This is the time to believe. This is the time that God is showing you everything is failing. Education systems are failing. Policing systems are failing. Government systems are failing. I'm not just talking about Donald Trump. Democrats and Republicans, they both get on my nerves. Donald Trump made me so disgusted seeing him stand up in front of a church and holding up a Bible as a photo op. It disgusted me. But then turn around, here come the Democrats in African kit takeoff, getting on their knees. That disgusted me too. I'm not a photo op. I'm not a political opportunity. I'm a human being. Treat me like a human being. And so I don't care if it's a Republican or Democrat. I don't line up with the elephant, and I don't line up with the donkey. I line up with the Lion of the King of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so I will vote Republican if God so lead me. And I will vote Democrat if God so lead me. And I will vote independent if God so lead me. But I will vote. I will make my voice known. And after I vote, I plan on holding people accountable. God has done some things in my life. And right now I see where much of the groundwork that my father has laid, here I am in the middle of it. So the march that happened at Ball State, which was beautiful, a lot of our saints were there, and I appreciate you. I seen Sister Reva was the only one. I seen her and her son, but a lot of you were there, but I wasn't planning on going to it. Pastor, why wouldn't you plan on going to it? Because I was tired. And I said, I'm going to let some other folk march for me. I don't feel like marching nowhere. My ancestors marched, and I've been preaching, been doing all this stuff. I'm tired of y'all, and I'm tired of marching, and I ain't going nowhere. But I got a call on Tuesday morning from a number I did not recognize. And this said, Pastor Andre? I'm like, yes. This is the chief of police. I need you. I need you at the march. Number one, how'd you get my number? That's what I'm thinking. I'm in the bed because I had worked all night. I'm thinking, how did you even get my number? But God has put me in places where people are looking at me and saying they need me. And then they had this form that they threw together last minute. And they talking about, Andre, we want you to moderate. I want to be left alone. I don't want to do nothing right now. But when you have a calling on your life, you cannot be passed over. You cannot be skipped. And tomorrow I have to go and I have to meet with the mayor, with the chief of police. And I've got some things that we're doing behind the scenes. Don't assume we're not doing anything. I'm not just marching, but we got some demands we're putting in front of them, saying these are the things we need and we want to see done, because it's a restart. And guess what, Andre? You have to move when God is calling you. All right, let's go to verse 431.
As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land.
Your children are going to enjoy the land that you rejected. Next verse.
But as for you, your bodies will fall in this wilderness.
The next verse, I'm going to read the next verse. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness until the last of your bodies lies in the wilderness. So they were in there 40 years, and some scholars say it should have taken them 11 days to go through the journey, and it took them 40 years. And there's a lot of people in Christendom that's just going around the same old stuff and have not transitioned, but they're transgressing. So that leads me to number two. Point number two is ready. Are you ready? God is ready for us to move, but are you ready? So we had the first one, which is was a reckoning, and now is ready. Now read Joshua 1 and 1.
After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide.
We're going
to
continue to read.
Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready.
Stop. Moses, my servant, is dead. Mourn, grieve, cry. Talk about how this is so unfair. He was such a good man. God didn't talk about none of that. He said, get ready. When an old season dies out, you have a little time to grieve, but you need to be getting ready. He said, get ready to do what?
Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites.
He said, one thing, the people have died, but my promise hasn't died. So I've left just enough of you for you to see what I have promised. But the only thing I'm asking you is get ready. I know things have died. I know things have changed. I know seasons have shifted. But get ready. I know you were told no one time, two times, three times, four times, five times. You've been told no so many times. But God says get ran it. I know they lied on you. They walked out on you. I know the marriage didn't work. I know the job didn't work. But I hear God say, get ready. I know the money is funny and the change is strange. But I hear God say, get ready. I know your loved one is still locked up and they've been given 20 and 30 years. But I hear God say, get ready. Get ready to cross. Because when you cross, you step into something that you could not have done on your own. You step into a favor that you could not have done on your own. Let's go to verse 3.
I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses.
When you cross, every place you set your foot, I'm going to give it to you. And he didn't say that everybody 19 and under was perfect. He didn't say they were sinless. He just said if they get ready and they cross, wherever they land, I'm going to give it to them. I need somebody who is tired of their house to drive in a good neighborhood and just start walking up in the neighborhood. And when somebody get ready to call the cops on you, say, don't worry about me. God has just given me the land. I'm just walking some stuff out. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm getting ready for what God's about to do in my life. I've been broke long enough. I've been sick long enough. I've been tired long enough, but I'm getting ready to see something I've never seen. I'm getting ready to move in an area I've never moved before. I'm getting ready to drive something I've never driven before. I'm getting ready. I know some of y'all get tired of me talking about blessing, but until you get it, I'm going to keep preaching it because I see it in my spirit. God won't let me let it go. I believe it's a time for God to do some turnaround in your life, but you got to be willing to step into some uncomfortable places to see what God has. All right, we're dropping to verse 5. Joshua, nobody's going to be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. God is not in the business of abandoning you. God, we're getting ready to move into Father's Day next week. And some of y'all have had deadbeat fathers, but God is not a deadbeat father. He's not a father that plans on abandoning you. Once he has put himself to you, he'll stay with you. And you have to understand, when you walk, you do not walk alone. When you look in the mirror, you only see one person, but that's not the only person that's standing there. You got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You got goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. Don't you think you're by yourself. You may be lonely. You may feel lonely. You may be crying right now, but God will never leave you nor forsake you. So get up and have some gumption about yourself. And that's going to get me to point number 3. You have a responsibility in this thing. You have a responsibility. So Joshua was told by God, these are the things I'm going to do for you. But this is the responsibility he gave him in verse 1 and 6. I'll read that. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. This is not just a message to you. This is a message for me, that God is telling me, if I'm going to get you where you need to be, I need to be strong and courageous. This is not the time to be scared. This is not the time to be silent. This is not the time to sit in the meeting and not talk. No, I got something to say. It's time to be strong and courageous. Well, Sister Teresa, we're thinking about giving you a raise. What do you think you're worth? Well, you know, whatever you think. No, the devil is a lie. No, I'm worth about $425 extra than what you give me. Maybe five. Maybe five and some benefits. I've already thought it out. I've already weighed it out. And if you're going to come and ask me, I'm not going to play humble. I'm not putting my head in the sand. What did you pay that other person that don't look like me? What you paying them? Pay me that and more. What are you paying the man? Why are you paying the man more than you're paying me? Pay me that and more. This is the time to be strong and courageous. You have a responsibility. Now, here's the thing. God would not give that as a command if Joshua was going to walk on easy street. That means Joshua was going to go into the promised land and he was going to face trouble. But he said, I'm only asking you to do two things. Be strong and be courageous. All right, let's look at verse 7. Read verse 7.
Be strong and very courageous.
Not only be courageous, but be very courageous. Read.
Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go.
Be strong, be courageous, but don't abandon what you've already been taught and learned. The problem with some of us in the new school, we try to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You got to throw the bathwater out, which is the law, but you got to keep the baby. We're not preaching you can do anything you want to do and still be effectively saved. No, that's not what we're talking about. Be strong, be courageous, but hold on to what you know is right. Verse 8. No, only on Sunday.
Day and night.
No, just every now and then. Whenever I catch T.D. Jakes on TV, I'm going to make sure I watch the last 15 minutes because that's when he be sweating and hollering. I like that. No, no. Day and night. Read.
So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
And King James says you will have good success. There is a difference between success and good success. Verse 9. God keeps drilling this into Joshua's head. I'm sending you into the promise. I'm with you, and everywhere your foot treads, you are going to win. You're going to succeed. But I'm telling you, you need to be strong and courageous. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. I'm tired of all these scary Christians, scared of everything. Do not be scared. Do not be afraid. Pull yourself together. Look yourself in the mirror and say, we're going to do this. I don't know what I'm going to say when I get there to divorce court, but I'm going to say something. I'm not going to get cheated. That they're going to figure out I'm the one in the right. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be courageous. Folk lying on me, they're talking about me, but I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be strong. I'm not going to be scared. Well, I'm pastor, I may have to take a pill. Well, take a pill and be bold. Take a pill and be strong. Do whatever you got to do. Go to therapy and be bold. Go to therapy and be strong. Get rid of some folk and be bold. Whatever you have to do, this is the season to be strong and courageous and not to fear. So we're going to put this up. Mother Mitchell, would you read it just kind of loud and forceful?
No.
No fear here. First person I heard say this was Kenneth Copeland. And so I taught it to my children because when you are a children of a pastor, you always get attacked with nightmares. The devil always tries to weave things in. And also because of the cartoons and things that people watch, there are spirits trying to come in your house through all that stuff. And you can't turn off everything. You think Peppa Pig is okay, and there might be a devil coming through Peppa Pig. And so you can't fight everything, so you just got to pray over stuff. You got to pray over your children, but every now and then your children will get hit with stuff, and they're going to run and wake you up, and I had a nightmare, and they're crying, but after a while, you got to tell them how to fight. So I told my kids, all of them, I told them that we're going to say no fear here. I gave the boys scriptures, but after it left, Dylan had a hard time with it. I remember we watched Star Wars, and he seen Darth Vader for almost a year, boy. Darth Vader was wearing him out in his dreams, so he was a little... But it took him, so he got over it, but then it started hitting Alana. And so I told Alana, I remember one time Alana got into our bed and I put her in the bed and she said, Daddy, I said, no fear here, but nothing happened. Oh, it broke my heart. I said, baby, keep on saying it. Keep on saying it. What I said, keep saying because you have the power. And so I can't remember how long ago that was, but yesterday me and her were playing hide and seek, and we were talking about something. I don't know how, but somehow we got onto the devil. And she said something. She's like, The devil tried to come, but he don't stay that long. Because when I say no fear here, he stays for a little while, but he ends up leaving and getting out the way. Yeah, no fear here. At 7 years old, she's figuring out that it may attack me, it may test me, but if I hold my crown, if I hold my place, if I refuse to back up, if I refuse to quit, if I refuse to cave in, if I refuse to throw in the towel, the devil will get tired long before I get tired. No fear here. Oh, my bank account don't look right, but no fear here. My marriage don't look right, but no fear here. Racism doesn't feel right, but no fear here. My children are dysfunctional. They're getting in all kinds of stuff, but no fear here. Devil, you can't push me off of this path I'm on. You can't back me up. There's something that I say that I seen while watching basketball. It was Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. They were on the same team, but Kevin Durant left, and it fractured the relationship. And the first time they played, everybody was wondering how it was going to be when they play each other. And Kevin Durant was doing his thing, and Russell Westbrook was struggling a little, but he got a little going. I think he dunked the ball, and Kevin Durant rolled his eyes like, you ain't been doing nothing, y'all losing. And then I seen Russell Westbrook's mouth. He said, I'm coming. I may be struggling right now, but I'm coming. I'm coming. And sometimes I tell the devil, I'm coming. I may be crying right now, but I'm still coming. I may be hurting right now, but I'm still coming. I may be confused right now, but I'm still coming. There's no fear here. I'm not scared. I know who's on my team. I know who's on my side. And devil, I'm coming. Millions, I'm coming. Jet plane, I'm coming. Vacation, I'm coming. Cancer out of my body, I'm coming. COVID passing over my house, I'm coming. Whatever it is, you got to tell the devil, I'm not stopping until I get what God says. I'm not scared. Now, number four, put number four up. Now, rest by resistance. I like rest. But sometimes rest comes through resistance. Let's look at Joshua 1, 10 through 11. I'm going to read that. One of the reasons I'm reading, because when I was outside of here and I didn't have my mother to read, I realized I got through messages quicker. So this might help me speed up just a little to read a few of them. But I love her voice, so I'm not going to kick her out. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. He didn't give them a whole lot of time. Get ready. 3 days from now, we're about to go grab what has belonged to us. What's been held back for 40 years, Joshua said, in 3 days, we're going to get it. Joshua 1 and 12, read that, mother. Read verse 13.
Remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land.
These three tribes, I have to explain it for you just in case you have never read it, never seen it in the scripture. These three tribes, when they were trying to move toward the promised land, and once they were going through the wilderness, they found three areas of land that they liked. And they said, Moses, we don't even need to go to the promised land. We're comfortable here. Moses got upset with them because he was like, y'all trying to back out. And they said, no, we promise that we'll go and fight with y'all, but we just think this is a better area. We have already arrived here. And this is what I got to say to some of y'all. Some of y'all have already arrived. You don't have Section 8 housing. You don't wait on food stamps. You go when you want and where you want. You shop online and do all kinds of stuff. But this is not the time to sit on the sideline, like I told you in the parking lot service. When you see somebody struggling, you get up off of your comfortable chair and you go help. Guess what? I'm not getting pulled over. I'm not having trouble being pulled over. I'm not having trouble being locked up. I don't have weed in my car. But why am I meeting with police chief and mayor? Because there's somebody that looks like me that still may have that trouble. I'm not so comfortable in my chair and in my GM job and the fact that I'm pastoring an amazing church, one of the best churches in the entire world, but I'm not comfortable because as long as my brother is hurting, excuse me, as long as somebody got their knee on my brother's neck, I cannot be comfortable. I cannot be happy. I cannot be excited until my brothers, both black, white, rich, poor, Mexican, Asian, Indian, my brothers, until they are okay, I'm not okay. So yes, I want to rest, but I'm willing to rest by way of resistance, even if I'm not fighting my own battle. I'm not a child abuser. My kids, I thought I'd beat my kids more than I beat them the way I got beat. Whew. We ain't got time to get in that. But I'm not a child abuser. But when somebody's child gets abused, it pierces my heart. Because that's how we are. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. When the world is hurting, we hurt. All right, let's read the next verse 14. We didn't go to that yet.
Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men...
Let me stop just for a second. Women, we thank God for y'all, but some of this y'all can sit out. Because y'all done so much with all these lazy men in your life. Lazy, trifling, PlayStation playing men that don't want to get up and do anything. Some of y'all need to sit and rest and kick your feet up, and these men need to stand up and they need to be fighting for these women. A friend of mine in South Africa was talking about how when the thing happened with George Floyd, South Africans rose up and they were all on, plus it happened all around the world. They rose up and they were talking and they were saying, this is wrong. Black lives matter. Black lives matter. But just a few days ago, there was a South African woman that was cut to pieces and hung by another black, by one of his black boyfriends. And the South African preacher said, I wonder why when our women die, don't nobody say nothing. If black lives matter, it's not just for the men. When men go down, our women get up because they have sons. But when women are carted off to trafficking, all we want to do is go to the strip club. You lying devil, get up and fight for these women. It's time to fight for these women and stop fighting these women. Stop putting your hands. I don't know who I'm talking to, so let me come to TV land. Stop putting your hands on these precious queens of Zion. I mean, y'all women ride hard for y'all men. Y'all ride hard for y'all men, but it's time for us to get some skin in the game and do what's right. And I'm so grateful for some of our deacons and men in this church that work, that do all kinds of things, that take care of their women. I'm so glad for some good men. My daddy's 75, still opening doors for his woman. I'm glad for some strong men of Zion. We may not get it right all the time, but we are working to get it right. And if you have a no good trifling man, let him go. Excuse me. You don't have a no good trifling man because a man cannot be no good and trifling. You still got a boy. If you got a boy, let that boy go. Don't let the door hit him or the good Lord split him. Amen. But let me throw this out. It's hard to let somebody go you got a soul tie with. Next verse. I ain't got time for that. Next verse. Joshua 1:15.
Until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God has given
He said, men, I want you to leave your wives and children home, and I want you to go and fight with them until the Lord gives them rest like you got rest. Until they got a job like you got a job. Yeah, I know they went to prison, but that should be held over their head for the rest of their life. When they come out, that's why my dad is trying to find out people who hire felons. Why they got to be a felon for the rest of their life? You tell me prison is for rehab. If you rehab them, give them a job. No, you put an ankle bracelet on their foot and stick them in a society back. You know where they live because the probation officer and the police know where you live. You know they live in a drug-infested area, and you don't give them no job and say, well, don't sell no drugs, or else we'll lock you back up. And that's why we fight for those type of men. Yeah. And I'm tired of people acting like you have to be perfect not to be killed. Well, George Floyd, he was a criminal, and George Floyd, he didn't, but listen, the law has something for criminals. Let them be tried in the court. Don't try them on the street. I'm tired of your street justice. Give them a chance. And when they do their time, let them go. Can't vote when they come out. It's a messed up system. But we got a moment in time to fight for these people. We have a moment in time to push. And Bishop been pushing for a long time. Bishop ain't been to no prison. He maybe was locked up a long time ago. You know how long it's been, so he's been in that life. But he fights for them because he has the spirit. He says, we're not free until all of us are free. Now, some of our men, yes, need to do better, but there's a lot of them there that just need some love and somebody to believe in them. And that's what we're trying to do. You don't have to read the rest of that. We're going to go to number five because I'm trying to move on out of here. Number five is rebellion. Let's put this up. No room for rebellion. Put that up for me. No room for rebellion. Somebody say that. No fear here, but there's no room for rebellion. Now, as you see what God is doing in my life, that means God is elevating me. He's shifting me. I'm becoming more forceful. Each year, I'm moving into what God is calling me. I am prophetic by nature, but I don't always show it. I don't always say it. I don't always have time to get it and to call it out. But once I start calling out and making moves that you don't like, be careful how you handle that because there's no room for rebellion. Let me say this real quick. If you find yourself in a church you always have to complain about, just do everybody a favor and find a new church. Because maybe you're in the wrong church. But if you can't submit to this leadership and you can't submit to what I see and you always got something to say, do everybody a favor and get in where you fit in because maybe you don't belong here. And if you don't belong here, you're bringing everybody else down. So I give you permission to exit so that we can get the folk in here that need to be here. We have no room for rebellion. I am the pastor of this church. I have the ship. I'm driving the vision as God sees it. But my parents are still my overseers. And me and my father don't always see eye to eye. When I say always see eye to eye, that's almost like 5% of the time. We very rarely disagree. But when we do disagree, I have no room to be disrespectful to him just because I'm leading this ship. He has laid his life for me to stand where I stand. I have no room to be operating in rebellion. And let me throw this out there to all of you. Stop letting your children who are grown and going through their hormones, stop letting them rebel against you and talk any kind of way against you. When you pay for everything that they got, you stand up. And you let them know the way it's going to be. Y'all done got so weak. Some of y'all are the weakest parents. Just let anything happen. Now, grandparents, they have a right to be weak. Now, when they turn grandparents, it's a spirit of weakness that jumps all over. Bishop, I've been singing Bishop's praises, but let me talk about Bishop. When we used to move in church, he stopped the whole service and say, sit down. Don't do that in God's house. But Alana can walk right up while he's preaching. He'll pick her up and keep on preaching. It's a different spirit over grandparents. But you parents, you rule your house. Locked doors don't go in a house you pay the mortgage for. Why are you locking doors? Open every door. Inspect everything. Pray over everything. Anoint everything. Do whatever you got to do. There's no room for rebellion. The reason why is because when they slip out of the safety of God, you can't save folk that are in rebellion. You can't save a car going off of the road when they're in the wrong crowd doing the wrong thing. So pray for people, but do not put up with rebellion. And I love y'all, but I won't put up with rebellion. One of the things, we're not perfect. We have other issues. People have addictions and things. We work through all that. But what I don't put up with us talking about each other in the church. So when I have a member comes to me and they tell me, Krista don't like me, okay, I'm thinking about talking to Krista. Then the next day, Sharita don't like me. The next day, Joyce don't like me. I realize you the problem. You got all these people don't like you. And so I do some investigation. But when everything leads back to them, I'll come and confront them. Listen, it looks like you the problem. And for some people, I've had to say, listen, I'm not going to cater you. I'm working too hard to have a pacifier and stick it in your mouth. If you can't get with the program that we're going to love each other, we don't always like everything everybody does here, but do not get on the phone and tell somebody. You go to them. Don't mess up the anointing in the house being petty. And if you want to be petty, it's okay. Just don't do it here. Because I will politely ask you to find somewhere else to go. If you want to stay here, the best thing you do is don't let me find out about it. Because when I find out about it, I'm going to deal with you about it. And I'm going to ask you, what's going on? Why is it that don't nobody like you and you just got here? They all think I'm after their husband. Ain't that many husbands in here. We filled with single women. What you talking about? Ain't that many husbands? And the husbands that are here, we old and tired, and we don't want to mess up what we already in. It's been a long time since I've been able to talk to y'all. Let me move on. I don't have room for rebellion. And sometimes I may not handle it all the way right. It's like Pastor Andre talked rough for me, because sometimes you get Pastor Andre and sometimes you get Dre, and Dre ain't always delivered. I might talk a little rougher than what I meant to talk, but I don't have room for rebellion. I don't have room for petty jealousy and stupid stuff. She thinks she better than me because she lost 20 pounds. Do you know what it took for her to lose 20 pounds? Shut up and you lose 20 pounds too, and y'all work together. And if you don't want to lose 20 pounds, put on 50 pounds and be happy about you and be happy about her. We don't have time to be fussing and fighting over stupid stuff. I'm trying to bring millions of dollars into this ministry. I don't have time for you to get mad over it. He think he better than me. Shut. Okay. Well, I'm getting in my flesh. Let me read Joshua 1:16. Joshua 1:16.
Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go.
They didn't give him no backlash. They said, Joshua, whatever you commanded, we're going to do. Because they know Joshua had been talking to God. Verse 17.
Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you.
First of all, they didn't fully obey Moses. Just like I was with Royce, I'm going to be with you, Andre. You weren't really with Royce, but whatever, it don't make a difference. This is a restart. So whatever it is, do it. We're with you. Read some more.
Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses.
Verse 18.
Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them will be put to death.
That's what God said. He said, I'm not playing with these people. I done let everybody go but 19 and under, and I'm ready for y'all to go and possess the land. I ain't got time to be telling you stuff I've already told you. Joshua, whoever bucks up against you, I'm pulling my covering off of them, and whatever they get, they get. And if they rebel against you, they just going to go ahead and die, because I'm not playing. This is a restart. It's time to get what I've been promising y'all, and I'm not here to curse anybody and scare anybody, but this is not the time to be playing church. And at the end, he says, what? Only be strong.
Only be strong and courageous.
He added it again. So this, we're going to add this, and then we're going to our last point, and we're closing from here. No room to relax. This is a restart, and there's no room for fear, no fear here, no room for rebellion, but there's no room to relax. And I know I'm closing. I've been talking kind of tough and forceful. But I wanted to turn just a little bit of a corner. When I say no room to relax, I'm not talking about you guys necessarily, because we just opened the building and y'all here already. Some of y'all have been giving and doing all you can do. But what I'm going to add one more thing to you. I'm going out of Joshua, and I'm going to add one more scripture and close from this scripture. This is what I don't want you to relax in. Because the people who have already relaxed, I can't hardly use them. I can't do nothing with people who want to sit on the sideline. I'm ready for people who want to move. Let me give you just this quick example. Back in the day when I did play basketball, the coach would be down there. If you wasn't getting any playing time, you'd be down here. But every now and then, Cease would move. And if you wanted to get in the game, you didn't want the coach looking too far. You find your way over here. That way, when the coach looks for somebody, you look him in the eye like, look, put me in. All my saints who are sitting over here doing this, ain't thinking about the things of God. I love y'all. I'm communicating Christ's love compassionately. But I ain't got time to look way down the road to grab somebody. I'm looking for the folk who's right up in my face. What can I do to help? What can I do to serve? What do you need done? And sometimes I'm doing so much, I don't know what I need them to do. But I'm grateful I have people who are not relaxing. And for all you people who are ready to work, I got one more thing to tell you. And this is number six. This is what I want you to go forceful with. Number six, put number six up. I want you to rejoice. If you don't want to relax, this is the thing I need you to do when you walk out of this door. And from here on out, I need you to be rejoicing. Let's put up this scripture, read it, and this is our final scripture, Philippians 4:4.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say.
This is a command. Rejoice in the Lord. I can't promise you when you walk out of these doors that it's going to be easy street. But what I want you to do is not relax and rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I need a praise in your heart. I need a pep in your step. I need a smile on your face. Don't you wait to an organ or a drum to praise the Lord. But in your home, in your car, on the job, praise ye the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. When you're happy, rejoice in the Lord. When you're sad, rejoice in the Lord. When you're mad, rejoice in the Lord. When you're glad, rejoice in the Lord. When you got money, rejoice in the Lord. When you ain't got no money, rejoice in the Lord. When your house is good, rejoice in the Lord. When your house is bad, rejoice in the Lord. When your marriage is good, rejoice in the Lord. When your marriage is bad, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever you do, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever the devil does, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever God does, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever Trump does, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever the Democrats do, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever the police do, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Don't relax. Get to praising. Get to giving God glory. Get to clapping your hands. Get to stomping your feet. Get to moving side to side. Shaking and rocking. Moving and rocking and giving God the glory. Arise, shine, and give God the glory. This is the time to praise the Lord. This is the time to say hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. This is the time to say I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. The camera messed up, but I will rejoice. Things are going wrong, but I will rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. How I need you to restart? Restart with rejoice. Come on, let's stand to our feet. And let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, you restarted us for such a time as this. God, I thank you for these people. These are an amazing group of people. Not just the ones here, but the ones watching us all across the country. You have been doing amazing things. And God, we still got some stuff to fight and move into, but we go rejoicing. We go praising. We may be mad for a moment, but we're praising. May get ticked off for a moment, but we're praising. We're going to do the will of God because the promises of God, they are yes and amen in Christ. And we plan on being in Christ and we have the responsibility of only being strong and courageous. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Father God, we pray that people all across that are listening to us live and recorded later, God, that they would understand that if they're going to move into this promised land, they need you in their heart. So, Father God, I speak for them and I put myself in their place so they can repeat it if they need to. God, I'm a sinner. So, God, save me. Send your son who died for my sins to come into my heart. God, I'll serve you till the day I die with your son and your spirit inside. In Jesus' name. Now come on, saints, let's rejoice for all the people who are...